Hi, this is Michael Roy, Executive Editor of the American Journal of Psychiatry. We're conducting a brief survey about this podcast, and we'd really appreciate hearing from you. To complete the survey, please go to ajp.psychiatryonline.org/audio and select the link at that page. Your answers will remain anonymous, and we thank you for your feedback. That's ajp.psychiatryonline.org/audio, and you'll see the survey link there. Again, you can complete the survey anonymously, and it won't take more than a few minutes. Now, on to this month's episode.
Welcome to the Audio Digest of the American Journal of Psychiatry. This is Dr. Susan Schultz with highlights for November 2017. They include a report on clinical genetic testing in psychiatry and a study of binge drinking as a possible risk factor for alcohol use disorder. Treatment of bipolar disorder in the elderly was examined in a clinical trial comparing lithium and divalproex for this age group. We also have a pair of articles describing the course of schizophrenia and trajectories of social functioning over 20 years. The article on social functioning has been selected as meriting CME for readers who subscribe to the AJP CME course program. Each month, brief companion exams are created for three articles from the issue. By reading the articles and completing the online exam, individuals can earn up to one AMA PRA Category 1 credit per article. This activity is sponsored by the American Psychiatric Association. To subscribe, click on the CME link at the top of our homepage, ajp.psychiatryonline.org. We'll begin the highlights with the discussion of clinical genetic testing in psychiatry. The heritability of severe psychiatric disorders has been demonstrated by concordance between monozygotic twins and by adoption studies. Epidemiological studies have also shown that the risk of psychiatric illness is inversely proportional to the genetic distance from an affected relative. Patients with mental illness are seldom referred for clinical genetic testing, but it can be helpful for those with syndromes involving psychiatric illness plus other medical conditions. Christian Baukamp and colleagues report findings for 50 patients with an Axis I psychiatric disorder comorbid with intellectual disability, congenital abnormalities, or dysmorphic features. Most of the patients had schizophrenia or autism spectrum disorder. 24% were found to have pathogenic or likely pathogenic copy number variants, gains or losses of a genomic sequence, or a complex rearrangement of a sequence. For these patients, having an etiological genetic diagnosis can increase access to medical benefits, education, and social services. It can also clarify prognosis and lead to treatment for medical comorbidity. It can also help in reproductive planning. Clinicians should be aware of medication effects that stem from particular copy number variants. A patient may be predisposed to obesity, metabolic syndrome, immune dysfunction, endocrine abnormalities, intellectual disability, or epilepsy. Certain medications can further increase the risk. Genetic diagnoses generally lead to a stronger therapeutic alliance. Patients and their families often report feeling greater empowerment. However, genetic testing currently leads to an etiological diagnosis in only a minority of cases, so expectations should be tempered. an inconclusive diagnosis may increase a patient's level of concern, and a confirmed pathogenic finding may induce anxiety. The decision of whether to perform genetic testing should be made by the patient or legal guardian after a comprehensive discussion with the psychiatrist and genetic counselor. Now we'll look at two reports on long-term outcomes of psychotic disorders. The first one is about illness trajectory. Kreplin considered a declining course to be a hallmark of schizophrenia, but others have disagreed. Roman Kotoff and colleagues report on multiple symptom dimensions over 20 years in patients with schizophrenia, psychotic mood disorder, and other psychotic disorders. The participants were recruited from patients hospitalized for the first time with psychosis. More than 300 were evaluated at multiple points over the 20 years following the first hospitalization. The patients with schizophrenia had substantial and consistent declines. Their mean score on the global assessment of functioning fell more than 10 points. Worsening was observed in the ratings for apathy or asociality, reality distortion, and disorganization, despite consistently high rates of antipsychotic medication use. At baseline, the patients with psychotic mood disorders were less severely ill than the schizophrenia group. Their overall functioning also declined over the follow-up, but less than for schizophrenia. Most of the schizophrenia patients were continuously ill throughout follow-up, and only 4% had outcomes rated as good, compared with 30 to 40% of the patients with psychotic mood disorders or other psychoses. However, heterogeneity within diagnostic groups was substantial. The same group of investigators also examined the long-term course of social functioning in psychotic disorders. Impaired social functioning is a core feature of schizophrenia, and it's considered a key outcome measure for determining treatment success. Systematic long-term data are scarce, so Eva Veldhorst and colleagues tracked social functioning over 20 years in patients with schizophrenia spectrum disorders and in patients with psychotic mood disorders. They were compared with volunteers having no history of psychosis. The patients were identified during their first admission for psychosis. The baseline evaluation of social functioning was done 6 months later. Additional ratings were done multiple times over the follow-up period. More than 200 participants completed the evaluation at 20 years. The comparison group included community volunteers who were matched with the patients on neighborhood and demographic characteristics. The rating of social function was based on questions about social activity, social-sexual relationships, and relationships with friends. The scores for the patients were categorized in relation to the comparison group. Over the 20-year period, four general trajectories emerged, and they were remarkably stable. They were characterized by preserved social functioning, moderate impairment, severe impairment, and profound impairment. Differences among the trajectories were evident in childhood, and the two most impaired trajectories started to diverge in adolescence, and lower social functioning was related to worse ratings for other real-world outcomes at 20 years. Multiple trajectories were represented within each disorder, but about three-quarters of the patients with schizophrenia spectrum disorders had severe and persistent impairment. Outcomes were better for the patients with psychotic mood disorders, but differed between bipolar and depression. Social functioning was preserved in 42% of the patients with psychotic bipolar disorder, but only a quarter of those with psychotic major depression. Next is a study of medication for older patients with bipolar disorder. physiological changes and comorbid diseases increase their vulnerability to adverse effects. Robert Young and colleagues did a clinical trial comparing lithium and divalproex in terms of efficacy and tolerability. The patients were age 60 or older and had a bipolar 1 disorder. Each of them currently had a manic, hypomanic, or mixed episode. Under double-blind conditions, they were randomly assigned to lithium or divalproex. For each medication, a target serum concentration was set that was lower than the target for younger adults. Treatment lasted 9 weeks. Participants who had an inadequate response after 3 weeks received open adjunctive risperidone. Attrition rates were similar for the two groups. Rates were also similar for the proportion of patients who achieved the target concentration. The groups did not differ significantly in sedation, but the patients in the lithium group tended to experience more tremor. Efficacy was measured with the Young Mania Rating Scale, and the change from baseline favored lithium. However, the rates of response were above 70% for both treatments and didn't differ significantly. The need for adjunctive risperidone was low and was also similar in the two groups. Now we'll consider vulnerability for drinking problems. Several risk factors for alcohol use disorder have been identified, such as family history, male sex, and impulsivity. However, many people with these characteristics don't go on to develop the disorder. Joshua Gowan and colleagues wondered whether binge drinking might also be a marker for vulnerability to alcohol use disorder. The idea was tested in a group of more than 100 young social drinkers. They self-administered alcohol intravenously, which avoided problems related to measuring the amount of alcohol consumed. The same number of drinks can produce different alcohol concentrations owing to variability in gastric absorption, first-pass metabolism, distribution, and elimination. Binge drinking was defined as reaching a blood concentration of 80 milligrams per percentage. To judge whether this could be a risk factor for alcohol use disorder, its relation to known risk factors was examined. The volunteers also provided information on family history and performed a task to measure impulsivity. A higher rate of binge drinking was related to a higher percentage of relatives with alcoholism, to male sex, and to higher impulsivity scores. Family history had the strongest connection to binge drinking, and volunteers with all three characteristics had the highest rate of binge drinking. For patients who report periodic binge drinking, the clinician may get a better idea of total alcohol exposure by asking about the time course of the patient's drinking sessions in addition to the quantity of alcohol consumed. This concludes our audio highlights of the November issue of the American Journal of Psychiatry. Please visit our website, ajp.psychiatryonline.org, for the complete versions of these and other articles. We also welcome comments. They can be emailed to ajp@psych.org. Next month, our topics will include altered sensory phenomena in bipolar disorder, a review of transgender research, a new drug for treating negative symptoms in schizophrenia, and brain activation in PTSD as it relates to psychotherapy outcome and outcome prediction. We hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening.